You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
This segment is brought to you by Allan Gray, 50 years of long-term investing. Allan Gray is an authorized financial services provider. We've been talking about the prospects of SA Inc. for the longest time, and I've spoken to various analysts and fund managers around this. And today we have the privilege of speaking to the Chief Investment Officer at Allan Gray, Duncan Artis, around his thoughts on the investment case that exists for South Africa, because we've clearly gotten to a point where we can all agree that there certainly is an investment case. It's just about finding out where it sits. Good evening, Duncan. Thanks so much for taking the time. We seem to have become the flavor of the month or the flavor of the second half of the year following our elections and considering what's happening around the world.
Good evening, Jimmy. Good evening to the listeners. That is correct, although we're coming off a very depressed base.
So that's a very low base.
That's the important thing to remember. You know, I think if people, why has SA Inc. become such a theme? It's because, remember, our stock market's actually dominated by big global companies that just happen to be listed here. And then if we look at the shares that make most of their profit from the domestic economy, whether it's banks or retailers or manufacturers or insurers, they're very depressed, especially when you measure their share prices in dollars, let alone in rands. And I think people were looking and saying, well, things could either get worse before the election, you know, or they could get better. And if things get better, there was, the chance to make some really good returns, given the very depressed price levels and valuations that they were trading at relative to their past. And I think we have also been helped in the flavor of the month a little bit by Brazil and Mexico, investors turning a little bit sour on Mexico and Brazil, which were the two darlings earlier in the year.
So we are looking a lot better than our emerging market peers. But Duncan, I want to look at the sentiment shift. I mean, as you said, coming into the election, there was a lot of uncertainty. Everybody was kind of on the fence. We'll wait and see what happens. But post the GNU or whatever it is we're going to be calling it in the future, there's been a very, very clear shift from international banks, the likes of Morgan Stanley coming out and suddenly no longer being underweight South Africa. Everybody's going overweight because, hey, South Africa's actually not looking that bad.
Yes, I mean, I think it's interesting if you obviously look at the share prices, whether it's First Rand or Standard Bank or Mr. Price, they actually didn't do well after the elections. It was only when we announced the government of national unity, which shows investors were still worried about what we call the left tail risk. I mean, we're sitting here today and we're all feeling a little better, but what happens if the government had been the ANC, the MK and the EFF and they introduced, you know, terrible economic policies? So it wasn't simple or obvious coming into election. It was only when we announced the government of sort of national unity. And I think what people are saying there is, you've reduced the probability. It hasn't gone to zero, but we've reduced the probability of that very bad scenario. And I think we're probably in a slightly better scenario because it's still young. I think the government of national unity hasn't been really tested yet. But people are obviously, with where the prices have gone, and said, well, we much prefer this scenario to the alternate. And we think there's a better chance that we can actually get growth. And we can see it in the rally in South African government bonds, which have rallied almost 180, 200 basis points from where they were. So people have expressed that positivity not only in shares, but in the bond market. Just one important thing on the international banks is the people who've upgraded us are just the brokers. I think the real thing that changes is if the asset managers bring the money. Remember, the brokers don't actually invest money. They just give advice. So what we really need is like the big foreign funds to decide, well, we've been underweight South Africa for years, let's go overweight, because that's real money that can flow in and move prices in our markets.
Speaking of those investors, I mean, you touched on this, Duncan, to say that we're not completely out of the woods yet. There are still some risks that persist within the market, and obviously these risks are probably the reason why the big asset managers are still hesitant about coming into South Africa. When we look at the South African picture at the moment, I've been quite optimistic about where we stand. I still think we're very undervalued by global standards, and I'm sure you share those sentiments. I want to look at that upside potential. What do we need to get right in order for that upside potential to no longer be just theoretical and for it to start to materialize?
Yeah, because we've got a very good historical example. In 2018, the period people call Ramaphosa, everyone had seen what had happened in Italy, in India and Brazil, and they priced South African shares for this new era we were going to have under Cyril, and obviously been a huge disappointment, right? So nothing was delivered, and that's why our share prices performed very poorly, even given COVID. And then if we kind of look today, the share prices obviously moved up quite significantly, so we need to deliver now. Otherwise, it's going to be Ramaphosa again. So I think what people want to see is sort of concrete policy, things that make sense. And quite frankly, I think what we've seen the last few days, it's when I've spoken to some of the foreign investors as well, they want to see people go to jail. right? Because it's fine just saying, you know, this, but you need to start prosecuting people, because obviously corruption and sort of incompetence, you know, those are things that have been holding us back. Because when we look at how people value shares, the two most important things that go in are the cost of capital. And with our bond yields coming down, hopefully that means the cost of capital has come down, so people will be, you know, demanding a lower rate of return to invest in South Africa. In other words, they're willing to pay a higher price. And the other thing we need is growth, because we've had the worst of both worlds. We've had a very high cost of capital, but no growth, right? So if people see a chance for growth, they'll immediately start paying more for each rand of earnings that a South African company generates. And the cool thing that happens then is normally when that happens, you know, the earnings go up and the valuation people that put on that earnings go up. So you get a double positive.
Mm. Duncan, when we look at the things that need to happen, obviously a lot of this, almost all of this, kind of sits in the wheelhouse of the government in terms of policy making and decision making, and it leaves everybody else saying we'll have to wait and see how this unfolds in order to know where to place our investments. How do we then balance the investment side of it? Because at the end of the day, the days do still go on. We grow older, life still moves on. Life doesn't wait for those decisions, and we need to be balancing portfolios in that time in anticipation of either a good thing or a bad thing. How do you balance that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you said earlier to me you're an optimist. I'm not paid to be an optimist. I'm paid to be a realist, right? We manage people's hard-earned savings. So if you look at sort of, for instance, our balance fund, which is the biggest unit trust in South Africa, you know, we'd have an allocation sort of in the high 30s to offshore, so you can, you know, get different companies, different bonds in South Africa. As I said, there's some internationally listed stocks here. They're the SA Inc. stocks we've spoken about. You know, there's government bonds on attractive yield. We actually own some precious metals in the portfolio. So you kind of put this balance where you're going, we're not betting on one scenario. So if you look at our funds, we're not saying we are 100%, everything's going to work out in South Africa, it's all going to be rosy, and therefore we put in the whole portfolio into SA Inc. shares as an example. Or we're not betting that everything's going to go terrible, right? And only owning the offshore dual listed and having the maximum offshore and very little exposure to South African government bonds. We try to balance the portfolio so in the scenarios that we've looked at, you know, the portfolio will perform reasonably in any of those scenarios that happen.
Does the scenario planning sort of account for anomalies? And I think from an anomaly point of view, I think about what happened in the US a couple of years ago when we first saw Donald Trump's presidency, the first rain, and markets were being moved by his tweets and things that he was posting on what is now the X platform. When you think about scenario planning, obviously things like that will teach you a very different lesson. How do you map that out?
I think we try to think in probability. So no one knows the future. A good example I use on the political front, we've got so many pages and pages written about politics in South Africa, but no one knew the MK party existed. So there's a good example of things that come out. So, you know, I mean, stock markets have been around for hundreds of years. You're never going to know exactly the nuances that come. And, you know, your best sort of way of protecting yourself against that is owning cheap assets. So often, you know, they'll say, oh, like there was very bad news about something, but the share price went up. That means people had already discounted the bad news. But I think what's happened in the world, what we would say is, we've been telling clients for a while, is definitely 2024 was an above average political risk year, right?
Mm.
If you think we had elections in Taiwan, which is important, India, Europe, Britain, the US, and, you know, so definitely things can happen. That's why you need to have a diversified portfolio.
Managing your risk is so important, especially in an election year where 50% of the world's GDP goes to vote. We'll leave it at that, Duncan. Thank you so much for those insights and for the time. Duncan Artis, Chief Investment Officer at Allan Gray. This segment was brought to you by Allan Gray, 50 years of long-term investing. Allan Gray is an authorized financial services provider.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.